Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of this day, for the gift of All Saints Day, for all the saints gone before us. We give you thanks for all the saints with you who now dwell in your kingdom, and for the call upon each of us, your children, to be saints of God by following Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. It is in his name I pray. Amen. Well, you know, I think politicians are often at their best when they offer up some humor. And some of you will remember when President Reagan was shot and he was being wheeled into the operating room for emergency surgery. He managed to say to the medical team there, "I hope you're all Republicans." And you may remember another one of his most famous lines. The most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." Well, brothers and sisters, 2 days from now, our nation goes to the polls. And even though today is All Saints Day, the traditional birthday of the church, I want to talk about the upcoming election, but within the context of how we who call ourselves Christians, who are in fact saints by virtue of Christ's death and resurrection and our decision to follow him as our Lord and our Savior, how we talk about an election in that context. Now, you and I have been badgered and battered by ads and polls and policy mongering for what seems like years now. And mercifully, for a while anyway, by Wednesday morning, at least we hope, it all comes to an end. My guess is that some of you, as you're being wheeled into 2021 and beyond, are hoping what President Reagan hoped for, more Republicans. And some of you will feel completely the opposite way. And some of you, perhaps most of us, are just tired and weary and we're ready for it all to come to an end. Before I go on, I want to give my chief political endorsement. And here it is. If you've not already done so, then please vote. I think it's not just important to vote, it is a right, and it's an incredible privilege that you and I have a say in the choice of our leaders. Aside from that endorsement, I would ask again, do not neglect to forsake this incredible privilege. But aside from that endorsement, I think there's some real wisdom to ponder in the words of the former Democratic Senator George Mitchell, who liked to quip, although he is regularly asked to do so, God does not take sides in American politics. You've heard me say before that I don't use our pulpit to discuss politics, and that's true, but when it comes to the most important matters before us, I want you to really ask yourself this question: who should get your vote? Who gets your vote? 4 years ago, my guess is that most of us cast our vote. Some have been pleased with who was elected, and some have not. In any case, whether we look to the past or to the future, if we put our internal hope, our deepest desires, our most extravagant dreams in the outcome of a presidential election, we're going to be disappointed every single time. It's clear from Scripture that this world, as long as it is infected and enslaved by human sin and brokenness, will not ever be perfect. Regardless of who is elected on Tuesday, months from now, perhaps years from now, there will still be economic trials, pockets of inequality and injustice, challenges to world peace. We will not experience the fullness of heaven on this side of heaven. So in a sense, this fragile earth, our island home, is our temporary place, but not our permanent one. It's a place where we see glimpses of God and his kingdom and even can take part in making his kingdom a reality. But God is not yet fully revealed, nor is his kingdom. And we see this in today's gospel lesson. The raising of Lazarus was an anomaly in Jesus's ministry. Jesus didn't heal every person he encountered, nor did he raise everyone from the dead during his life. There was no population explosion during Jesus' day on earth because he was walking around cracking open tombs and unwrapping mummies, nor digging up graves and resuscitating corpses. Lazarus's raising was a glimpse, a reminder that you can witness pockets of God's kingdom here, but not all of it, because the greater kingdom, the eternal kingdom, the everlasting kingdom, rests beyond the grave. This is precisely what we see in the glimpse of the kingdom yet to come in the revelation to John, our second lesson, our epistle lesson today. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And then an important, perhaps the most important line in this passage, God's word to John, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And right there, in those words, we're told for whom our most important vote should be. What are just a few implications of that word with regard to the election? First, since God is the Alpha and the Omega, only God deserves praise. Let me say that again. Only God deserves praise. There's a difference between thanks and praise. We give both to God. But there is a line to be drawn between thanks and praise when it comes to humankind. Today we see praise lavished on pop stars and sports heroes, but also on those who may take political stands with whom we agree. But praise is reserved for God. Lavish admiration should be reserved for God alone. You know, 4 years from now, we will do this all again. Presidents have term limits. The eternal sovereignty of God is a leadership position that has no term limits. We offer praise to God. We are saying that God is God, and we are not. And frankly, neither is Donald Trump nor Joe Biden. Second, do not expect a candidate to make you happy. With all the energy that has gone into this presidential campaign, we can certainly understand voters wanting their candidate to bring them joy and satisfaction, but that is really unrealistic, and it's often a recipe for disappointment. Whether the victor is a Republican or a Democrat, the winner is going to let down large numbers of his supporters. But there is another path toward holiness. Toward happiness, unreserved confidence in God. Unreserved confidence in God. The psalmist in Psalm 146 writes, "Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." Better for us to look for happiness in relationship with the Lord God, the one who made heaven and earth, and who is eternally faithful. God is the source of every good and perfect gift, and is a Lord who always keeps his promises. With God, we have a leader who can be trusted to provide for us and who never flip-flops. Even more, when we focus on our relationship with God, we find happiness within ourselves. When we look to God to bring us happiness, we begin to find authentic joy and satisfaction, which secures us even when our leaders disappoint us. Third, take the long view. If you buy into the reality that a candidate will not make you happy, then please buy into the reality that a new year will not necessarily make all your dreams come together as well. When I was born, John F. Kennedy was in office, and my hunch is that the trifecta of challenges presented by Russia and Cuba and Vietnam, not to mention the growing threat of economic challenges and racial tensions in his day and even nuclear annihilation. Many Americans at that time felt those were scary days. Let's be honest, these are scary days too. I don't have to list the external assaults to our internal peace. We all know them too well. We're talking about them every day. We're all hoping, we're all praying for better days, and I think most of us cannot wait for 2021. But you know, as long as I've lived, I've met and heard people live their entire lives saying things like, well, maybe next year will be better. Maybe next year will be different. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. If you're joyful on election night, don't get overly elated. And if you're disappointed when the election's over, don't get too depressed. The next presidential campaign will begin the next morning, November 4th. As Christians, the most important leader in our lives is Almighty God. When we focus and lay our hopes on Him, when we give our trust and give our lives to Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, then we're joining a community of faithful people, of saints, who are linked together across the generations. You and I have lived through countless political victories and defeats, and numerous times of national celebration and heartache. Election days, they may be divisive and difficult, but they should not prevent us from looking to God together and taking a long view of human history. So first, only God deserves praise. Careful about pouring that on a candidate. Second, do not expect a candidate to make you happy. Third, take the long view. Lastly, fourth, put all your trust in the eternal. Put your trust in the eternal. Also from Psalm 146, do not put your trust in princes, mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. We take a chance when we rely on political leaders to help us because they are flawed and weak and biased and transitory and limited like any other human being. They are broken and they're sinful, just like you and me. Some are more gifted than others. Some make outstanding leaders. Others are horrific. Others don't make much of a difference at all. But our complete faith should be directed not toward a politician, but toward the eternal maker of heaven and earth. You know, this year, as you know, there's been this big push from all sides to vote, vote, vote. I've seen it on more t-shirts and hats and bumper stickers than I have ever before. Just that one word, vote. A lot of people wear them across their COVID mask. By all accounts, the push has worked. More have voted early than perhaps ever in our nation's history. Hopefully more will show up to the polls Tuesday than ever have before. That's a good thing. More voices, more boots on the ground, making their voice known. That's what we prize and it's what we want in our democracy. But I don't think I'll ever forget seeing what was written on a t-shirt of a young man that I spotted during the last election 4 years ago. Yeah. Two words written in red on a black t-shirt, just two words. Vote Jesus. Vote Jesus. It really stuck with me. You know, there's a lot competing for Jesus these days. Not the least of which is the belief that some have that their political candidate is the next best thing to Jesus, if not even better. But recalling that young man's witness that day on his t-shirt was but a simple reminder that really, when it comes down to it, Christians are always to vote for the eternal. Jesus raised Lazarus not to reveal God's power, but to remind us of what is to come. God welcomed John into his revelatory vision, not just to inspire, but to remind all who would read his words that there is an Alpha and an Omega, a beginning and an end. And it is He and He alone. And He's the source for your happiness and your joy and your peace and your hope. And you know, we Christians, we're always people of hope. Right before his death, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "With hope, I have seen the promised land, and I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." "I'm happy tonight," he preached. "I'm not worried about anything. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Before he took his last breath, Ludwig von Beethoven, who was deaf, said with hope, I shall hear in heaven. Before he was executed by the Nazis, Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer's last words were words of hope. He said, this is the end, but for me, it is the beginning. Hope is seen in glimpses here in this world, and hope in what rests beyond this world is the very reason we sang that hymn we sang today, Martin Luther's words, a mighty fortress is our God. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, this body they may kill. God's truth abided still, his kingdom is forever. Our kingdom, our fortress, will not be defeated by an election, by a party, by a policy, by anything this world has to offer, even by death itself. Our fortress, our hope, our peace rest in the Almighty, everlasting, victorious kingdom of God and his Son, the ruler of all things in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. Well, friends, if you're looking for Tuesday to bring you everlasting peace, you're looking in the wrong place. You will be sorely disappointed. But if you're looking to the Alpha and the Omega, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, if you rely on his Holy Spirit, if your vote is for Jesus, you will have hope born within you that you cannot hold, but it will take hold of you. We don't know what the next president will bring, nor do we know what 2021 will bring. We do know what Jesus brings, life and peace and salvation, and that will see us through. This is a lovely prayer by Thomas Merton. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost, and I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me. So, my friends, today is All Saints Day. We believe that the word saint is not just reserved for just the best of Jesus' followers, but for all of his followers. We believe that all those who have chosen and who choose to follow Jesus and his way are saints. And that includes, as the song goes, those who mean to be one too. If you mean to be a saint, God will take you up on the offer. Just a few Sundays ago, I stood at our font and baptized a little baby, testifying to the new birth of that child, but also the birth of a new faith, a new life in Christ. Several times during this COVID season, I have gathered at gravesides and at burial niches near our wayside chapel as we lay to rest, beloved saints of God. And in that moment, testifying to the hope to which we Christians cling, that in Christ life is changed, not ended. And you know, when we do these things, when we share communion, as those of you worshiping at St. Martin's did today, when we do these things, we followers of Christ, we saints of God, are visibly saying that we believe in the eternal. It is the Christian way of poking a finger in the eye of the ills of the world, saying, regardless of what the devil throws at us, we will not stop hoping. We will keep believing and keep trusting in the eternal. We will still keep voting for Jesus no matter what. And when we do, we will be blessed prisoners of hope. Let me close with some beautiful words of C.S. Lewis about this eternal hope. He writes this, at present we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in, Nature is mortal. We shall outlive her. When all the suns and nebulae have passed away, each one of you will still be alive. We are summoned to pass through this world, through nature, beyond her, into that splendor which she fitfully reflects. Well, my brothers and sisters, soon we will go to the polls to pick a president. But each day beckons us to cast our vote for who matters most. So, well, who gets your vote? I think that young man's t-shirt had it right. Vote Jesus. Vote Jesus. Vote Jesus every time. I'm going to close with a prayer. I'm in my sunroom at my house here, but I love this prayer, and it's appropriate as we reflect on this world and the world to which we're called. It's the proper we use close to a Sunday in mid-September. So I close with this prayer. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those things that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you, my friends, until we can be together again.